I'll get over there, but he says hello.
Tell him I said hi, okay?
Sure.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And today is the first day of February, and that marks the first day of Black History Month. And if you go online, if you go into an encyclopedia, if you go into the history of African Americans, you see a great many accomplishments. We were commenting today, I was with Melissa and Mike, about Dr. Charles Drew, who developed the system by which blood is refrigerated, blood is stored, and better ways of storing plasma. And the irony of that is that he actually bled to death because he wasn't allowed into a white hospital after an automobile accident back in the days of Jim Crow in the South. So those are just part of the ironies that go along with the history of what African Americans contribute to our country. Bob Green is on the line. Professor Bob Green from Hampden College in Portland, Maine, is with us. And Professor Green, you are a professor of Black Studies. You were a professor of American history, and you changed. Why is that?
Yes, I was, Phil. I was an American history professor at Hampden, and then I decided that I would go into Black History Studies when my maid was reading some books. And
was your maid Black?
Yes. She was reading some historical treatments of African Americans, and I decided at that time when I saw both my maid and gardener doing that.
Your gardener is Black as well?
Yes, he was. In fact, he's still with me. His name's Ernest, and my maid is Yvonne. They're both still with me.
Okay, so these were both Black employees of yours who were reading books on Black history, African-American history?
That is correct. That's what convinced me to go into African-American studies.
You're one of the few white professors in Black studies. Why is that?
Well, I don't know if you can say that I am entirely white. You know, the old saying is everybody's got a little bit of Black in them. My mother's family, Phil, was from Sicily, and we trace history. We know the Moorish invasion left Black blood, African blood, among the Sicilians and many Italians, and that means that those Italians probably most closely descended from Africans would be Sicilians, and that would mean that those Italians most closely descended from Africans would also be members of the Italian American Mafia, or if you will, La Cosa Nostra. So,
you're saying the mafia members of the mafia are Black?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're Sicilian, the Sicilian people, in other words. And
you subscribe to the theory, therefore, that, and I know what you're saying about the Moorish invasion, that the Italian people are of African descent.
Absolutely.
All right, but you are a white professor in a Black studies department at your college.
That is true, but it doesn't matter whether you're white, whether you're Black, whether you're green, whether you're blue, Phil. Let me tell you what really matters. We're all equal in the eyes of the Creator. And anybody can teach Black studies, because I believe in the equality of all people. And it doesn't matter anything at all if you're white teaching Black studies. I think being a white professor teaching Black studies means I'm more relaxed. I don't teach Black studies through the perspective of anger. I'm not teaching it through clenched teeth. I'm very relaxed. I can point out things like slavery and not get upset about it. And then I very, in a very relaxed way, stroll out of class and go get lunch. My students are angry, but I feel I'm still totally relaxed.
Well, if you say you're totally relaxed because what? You're not identifying with some of the negative aspects of African-American history that you're reading?
Well, because I'm white. I'm not necessarily, you know, it didn't happen to any of my people, so I'm not upset. And I see my Black students leaving. They're fuming. They're upset. They want to go off into discussion groups. They want to do something about it. I tell them, oh, it's so wonderful to see young students wanting to do something about it, you know. But I go off and I have a sandwich, and it doesn't bother me.
Tell me about Black History Month. This is the first day of it.
Well, Black History Month allows your Black to feel like he contributed something, to feel connected and feel as if he or she made a difference. I always thought that the only one of your Blacks that was noteworthy was the guy with the the guy with the peanut. Let me check my notes.
The guy with the peanut, George Washington Carver.
That's the guy. And I always thought he was the only, but there are many more who did wonderful things. Booker T. Washington, the guy who did the, you just mentioned him, the guy with the blood plasma.
Dr. Charles Drew.
Dr. Charles Drew, tremendous. The other guy who did the there was a wonderful invention, an African-American, that allowed for telegraph communications between trains. This had never been done before.
That would be Granville Woods.
That's Granville T. Woods, exactly. And then there was the lady who got a patent for the first ironing board. I don't have my notes.
Sarah Boone.
Sarah Boone. Sarah Boone. Charles Henry Turner, the zoologist who actually proved that insects could hear. There's Dr. Daniel Hale Williams, who is perhaps the most famous African-American in terms of science. He performed the first open-heart surgery in 1893. And then, of course, the guy who could predict eclipses and weather patterns. He was a weather guy. What's the guy? Come on. What's his name?
Guy could predict weather.
Yeah, what's his name? Whew. Man.
But, you know, you're a professor of black history studies, right?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you know this stuff?
I do know it. I'm, Phil, I do know it. I don't have... Who's the guy who predicted weather?
The black guy.
The black guy, yeah.
I don't know. Mike, do you know?
Can you get one of your staff to go online?
Could you guys go online? He's a guy. What did he do?
He could predict eclipses, and he could predict weather patterns. He worked he was an astronomer.
An astronomer. Looked at stars.
Right. What is that son of a bitch's name?
Well, sir, we're on the air right now, and so I don't want to get frustrated over the lack of names, okay? But we are talking to Professor Green.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm just trying to remember that.
I understand. We're talking to Professor Robert Green. He is a professor of black studies at Hampden College in Maine. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about Black History Month with a... It's a little unusual for me to be talking to a white professor, a guy who teaches white history, black history as a white professor. I don't know. It just seems a little strange.
Well, like I said, anybody, white, green, purple, can teach black history. But because I do have some Sicilian blood...
You feel that qualifies you as African-American?
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not going to get, nobody's going to hire me as their minority hire. Let's put it that way, okay? I'm not going to qualify under EOE, but... I can say I do have Sicilian blood, and that's as good as being black. I can't remember that guy's name.
Okay, we got the name. It's Benjamin Banneker?
Yeah, that's the guy. That's Benjamin Banneker. So there's a lot of people, and they're marvelous people. But Black History Month allows your black to feel like he's connected to these things, and I think it's a wonderful idea. But like I said, you know, Mr. Henry, I'm glad you asked that. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're white, black, orange, or gray. We're all equal, and a white man can teach black studies just as easily as a black man, maybe even easier, because he's not so tensed up. And I think it's important that because black people need to know their history. That's why.
Okay, I it's so funny. I have the strangest feeling that you were not prepared for this interview, sir.
I'm eminently prepared, Mr. Henry.
Well, I have the strangest feeling that you weren't, because you didn't know the names of half of these men that you were talking about. You have also made a couple of comments. You're black. What does that mean?
I didn't say that you're black. I said that it's important for your black to understand that...
Yeah, it's important for your black to understand his history. That's a kind of phrasing that I find offensive.
Oh, well.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Sir?
Yeah, I get you. Maybe I'm not the guy you want to talk to. Because
no, I'll talk to you, but...
You know, I don't do this political correct thing. You know, I'm my own man. And I don't do that political correct thing.
All right, just so maybe we can be a little bit more sensitive.
I'm sensitive to a point.
Hold on for a minute, please, sir. Where did you get this guy? I want a Black History Month professor, and you get me some white guy from a college in Maine? 1-800-449-8686. I asked that guy questions about all these people. He didn't have the name of one of them. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Professor Robert Green about Black History Month on the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Professor Robert Green from Hamden College in Portland, Maine. He's a professor of black studies there. And you wanted me to go on the record as saying what?
I want you to go on the record as saying that you are sorry for offending me by saying that a white man can't teach black studies.
I never said that, sir. I said...
You intimated that a white man cannot teach black studies. I am white. I teach black studies.
I said that you didn't understand...
No, but you intimated.
All right, if I intimated that a white guy can't teach black studies, I'm sorry, all right? But you don't have a grasp, sir, at least.
I've got a tremendous grasp of it, Mr. Henry. I've got a better grasp of it than you do, sir.
All right, but just to the information that...
You just take care of yourself and let me worry about myself. I teach with notes. I don't have my notes here with me, okay? Excuse me. I guess you got all your information. I guess everything you say on your show is right.
No, not everything I say on my show is right.
Do you work with notes?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
All right, let me go to Lena on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Lena, go ahead.
I tell you, I don't know where this joker comes from, but let me tell you, I was married for 14 years.
I come from Portland, Maine.
I was married for 14 years to a man who is a PhD in plant pathology. Whenever he was scheduled to do any kind of conference or interview, he was damn sure ready with notes.
He was a PhD in what, ma'am?
He teaches plant pathology, genetics.
What is that? I'm talking about black studies.
I guess I know, but I'm telling you, you're not ready for an interview. You have no notes. You have no grasp of the subject. My own daughter is sitting back here in the background yelling the astronomer's name that you couldn't come up.
Okay, all right. Okay, here we go. Now, go ahead. Ask me a question, Mr. Henry.
Ask you what?
Ask me anything about black history.
All right, who's Charles B. Brooks? Who's Charles B. Brooks? He's a famous African-American inventor. Who is he?
So you want to embarrass me now, is that it?
No, I'm not embarrassed. I'm asking you something out of... this is a Charles B. C. B. Brooks.
All right. I guess your daughter knows this one, huh, ma'am?
Manny, do you know about Brooks?
Well, I'm not going to be embarrassed like this. Have some kid come up with the answer before I do.
Well, I put it like this. How much do you know about Tuskegee University?
I know a lot.
That was the movie they did on HBO. I know all about it.
Tuskegee?
That's not a movie.
Not the Tuskegee.
Tuskegee University is not a movie.
The Tuskegee Airmen? That's where they all went to school. It was Tuskegee
no,
Airmen.
I said Tuskegee University.
Not the Tuskegee
Tell me
Airmen.
The significance of Tuskegee University.
Here it is. I got it. C.B. Brooks invented the first street sweeper truck and patented it on March 17, 1896.
Oh, okay. So you went to your internet and you looked it up.
I want to know the significance of Tuskegee University without him having to look it up online.
All right. The significance of Tuskegee University is that it is a black, it's where your blacks go for the, I don't know why you're trying to embarrass me, Mr. Henry.
This is ignorant.
What is so complicated?
You should know this.
You ought to know this. What's significant about Tuskegee University?
Even I know that.
I am a professor of black studies at Hamden College. I resent you trying to embarrass me in this
well,
matter.
Well, guess what? My ex-husband is a teacher in plant pathology, and he knows about Tuskegee University. He worked with Tuskegee University.
He
lives with Dr. Prakash on the plant. On peanuts.
Ma'am.
And if you knew anything about peanuts, you'd know the significance of Tuskegee University.
Ma'am, plants, African Americans are not wall vines.
Yes, they are.
They're not plants.
They are directly related to Tuskegee and directly related to peanuts, and specifically one particular gentleman that you have failed to mention. You are very ignorant.
Ma'am,
I don't know who you are, but you need to get off the line.
You got your daughter yelling at me. Now, I don't like that. Hello?
Come yes, on. I'm here.
What's so complicated about Black history? Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, bingo. There
there's
you go.
Nothing complicated about it.
Boom, that's
there's
all you
nothing
need.
Complicated
Look,
about
wait,
it.
Wait, wait, wait. There's a lot of people who have been overlooked in history. Who's Henry Brown?
Oh, here you go with the names again.
Yes, the name. You're a professor of Black history. Who's Henry Brown?
Oh, okay, wait a minute. Henry Brown patented a receptacle for storing and preserving papers. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Okay, you knew one. And you knew who, George Washington Carver?
I bet you don't know this one. Lady, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, who's Lonnie Johnson?
But let me tell you
no,
something.
No, come on.
Now.
Come on now. You
no,
guys asked me. Come
me.
On. Who's
use
Lonnie Johnson?
I am not a teacher
God
of black faith.
Watch your
I
language, sir.
I don't impart knowledge. I don't impart knowledge on students in that sense. I'm a nurse. I impart knowledge on nursing. And you better darn well know I know about nursing when I impart knowledge to
You've
common
people.
You've
been talking to me about plants and nursing. I'm a professor of black studies.
And
Come
you
on.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I know who Lonnie, I know who Lonnie Johnson
How
is.
All right, okay. Who's Lonnie Johnson?
Lonnie Johnson invented the super soaker. Thank you very much.
Lonnie Johnson invented the super soaker.
Yes. Oh, that's not good enough for you, Mr. White Man?
Are you telling me a black guy invented the super soaker?
Yes, he did.
All right, good for him. He invented the super soaker. You know one.
He's also an aerospace engineer. So does your daughter use a super soaker, ma'am?
As far as I know, let's see, that's 2 out of 8 now that you've known.
Yeah, it really is a batting average.
But you do imparting knowledge right. to people based on a subject. You should be an expert in your field, and
Hello.
You're obviously not.
Phil, I got one for this lady. Hey, I got one for you, ma'am, okay? Ma'am?
Like I said, I'm not a student.
No, wait a minute. Wait.
I'm not a student or a teacher
but you,
of the
study. I've got the right to ask you at least one question, because you say your kid knows. Here's one for you. Who's Malcolm X?
Oh, that's easy.
Shut up, Mr. Henry. Who's Malcolm X?
You want me to answer that, or you want my daughter to answer
Let's
that?
Let's have your kid, that big mouth kid of yours. What?
Who's Malcolm X?
She doesn't know.
Yes, she does. She does know. She's sitting here telling me he was the leader of the Black Panther movement.
No, you guys are wrong.
The Black Panthers.
All right.
What do you know?
Yes, I know. Malcolm X was
Yeah, go ahead. Stumble around it, white man.
No, wait a second. Malcolm X was a foremost minister in the Nation of Islam. He was the primary public presence of the Nation of Islam, second to Elijah Muhammad, who broke from the Nation of Islam following a series of internal problems and questions that he had concerning the behavior of Elijah Muhammad. He formed his own organization,
Yeah, you don't know squat.
I just said the most of it. Okay, who is Malcolm X?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. You tell me. Who's Malcolm X?
He was the guy who was shot. God damn it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to bring me on this program and to humiliate me in this manner.
You're the black studies professor. Who's Malcolm X?
He had that deal...
Yeah, he was the guy that got shot.
That was one part of it, yeah. But the other thing was, he took the name X because he didn't like the name Little, because some guy who was a slave owner had it.
Yeah, the slave owner of his family. Hold on. Don't we have anybody else I can talk to, Mike? This guy's a professor of black studies. Who's Malcolm X? He's the guy that got shot. I can tell you who Malcolm X was. I just said he was the foremost public spokesperson for the Nation of Islam. He was the number one minister, Elijah Muhammad. Then he split. He formed his own Muslim mosque incorporated. He traveled to Mecca. He began to reformulate his thoughts on race in America. At the time, he was a black nationalist. He remained a black nationalist, but he was a black separatist. And after he returned from Mecca, he decided that whites and blacks could work together in some limited fashion, but blacks had to work with each other first, and then they could accept assistance if they wanted to from whites second. There's a whole bunch of stuff I know about Malcolm X, because I saw the movie. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. On the line with me from Portland, Maine is Professor Robert Green, professor of black studies at Hampden College. We're talking about Black History Month. I apologize, Professor, if this conversation has taken on more of a theme of attacking you, but you claim to be white.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm very offended that you continually return to the theme that a white man cannot teach black history studies.
I'm not sure, but let's forget about that, okay? You made the comment, though, that you go into class wearing a dashiki. Is that true?
And why can't I?
Because...
My ancestors were Sicilian. That's the next best thing to being black. I wear a dashiki when teaching class to show my brothers that I understand their pain. And yet, being white, I don't have to invest in their pain. So when I come in wearing a dashiki, I can say, look, my brothers, I feel what you feel, and then I go home and...
Go home and put on a golf shirt or something, huh?
You know, that really hurts. That really offends me.
Well, I don't know, man. It sounds to me like you're white to me and you're black to them.
I am white, but I have black blood. As the saying goes, everybody's got a little bit.
As the saying goes. 1-800-449-8686. Dawn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm here.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm African-American, and I find you very offensive. You don't seem, as the woman said before, you don't seem to be prepared with the answers. You seem very, what's the word, just very casual. It's not like you're taking this serious. Black people had to go through
that. I knew something Mr. Henry didn't know. The inventor of the Super Soaker was Lonnie Johnson.
The Super Soaker. It's a squirt gun. Okay.
Oh, so in other words, that's not good. We should take that away from him?
I happen to know that Lister Johnson, I went online, Mr. Lonnie Johnson is an aerospace engineer. He's developed other systems that are a little bit more impressive than the Super Soaker, okay? He's worked with the aerospace industry. Why do you bring up the fact that he invented the Super Soaker?
I think that's pretty damn cool. I've got a kid who loves it. What else did he do?
He's an aerospace engineer. Why don't you mention that?
What else did he do?
Well, I don't know about that, but have you seen, ma'am, do you have kids?
Yes, I have a four-year-old.
That Super Soaker's a hell of a deal.
What? You're not taking this seriously. You said that black history, Dylan, you said that black history is something to make them feel, like they're part of the country. We helped build this country.
You helped do what?
We helped African-American black people help build this country.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
No, but you said that the reason why we have Black History Month is to make us feel part of something. We are part of it. And it wasn't right.
That's true. I'm just saying, because a lot of the black, they get upset. You guys get upset about a lot of stuff.
So we're one race. We're the human race. What do you mean, you guys?
Well, I mean the blacks.
That's a very divisive word.
No, I mean you blacks.
You
just say the African-American community. How about that?
I just want to know where you got your degree from. You get your degree in black studies from?
From Hampden College.
Oh, I got a better question. How many black students are there at Hampden College?
Oh, now you really want to hit below the belt, don't you?
How many black students are there at Hampden College? I'd like to know.
We have a total student body of 3,000 students.
How many of them are black?
I don't know, Mr. Henry.
Are there 100?
We don't even know.
Are there 50? How many black students do you have in your class?
You know, you're trying to embarrass me.
Just tell me. Just humor me. How many black students do you have in your black history class?
I've got two.
Two? And how many students do you have in the class?
I've got two.
Two?
Yeah. Okay, so that makes it bad? That makes it wrong?
Two black students? I bet you there's only two black students in the whole college. Who's John Lee Love?
Is another guy that invented something?
Yeah, another guy that invented something. Who is he?
Why don't you ask your black friend here on the Dawn? Well, she'll probably know. You know? Oh.
I really don't believe you're real. I just can't. I cannot believe.
Well, ma'am, I'll tell you. Up until a half hour ago, I thought I was real, but I'm being treated like a bum on this show.
Well, because you're not prepared, and you're a disgrace to your profession.
A disgrace? I brought black studies to Hampden College.
Have you been a professor there?
I've been a professor at Hampden College?
Yes.
I was an American history professor there for 5 years.
And you took
then
over...
you went into black studies.
Black studies.
Yeah, last year.
Last year. So really, you really had no training or study in the subject. You probably just go to the internet and get all your information.
I read up on Montgomery. What do you want from me? I know who Rosa Parks is.
Yeah, Rosa
that's
Parks.
Great.
Well, do you know who Rosa Parks is?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this we? You got a turd in your pocket?
I'm speaking for the... I don't appreciate your language, okay?
It's just unbelievable.
Who's Rosa Parks?
Rosa Parks was the lady who refused to take a back seat on the bus in Montgomery, Alabama in 1956, thus violating a municipal statute which prompted the Montgomery bus boycott of African Americans in that city.
Hey. Real good.
And, you know, the other thing that I guess bothers me is that you have no compassion.
By the way, John Lee, you're not displaying any compassion. John Lee Love of Fall River, Massachusetts, invented the very simple portable pencil sharpener that many artists use to this day.
And you looked that up when I answered the... You know, I don't believe for a minute you knew that.
I happen to know the answer.
Yeah, you got online and looked it up after I asked you. All right, Don, thank you very much for your call. Here is Wendell on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, great. Hey, I just, you know, wanted to make a comment to the professor. And, Professor, first of all, I am a black man, and I am in no wise trying to, you know, bash you.
You go to... What's up, brother?
Well, first of all, I would even commend you, you know, for, you know, teaching black studies.
Thank you.
But
you're the first one to do that. Mr. Hendry hasn't done it. His callers haven't done it. Thank you, sir.
Oh boy.
Okay, but the thing that I want to say is, like, you know, teaching black studies, you know, you said that, you know, you change, you know, into, you know, your dashiki or whatever, you know, to feel what the black person feel.
Yeah.
But you know, Professor, honestly, I mean, I don't think that you could actually feel what we feel from an emotional standpoint. You know, I mean, what our forefathers went through, you know, and some of the things, you know, if you go back to slavery, even back to the times of, you know, discrimination, you know,
right.
Even now when, you know, certain things happen,
right.
You know, you being, you know, a white male could not actually, you know, feel
yeah.
what we feel. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, Wendell, I think that's a great point. And if I may, I'd like to comment on that. You're right. But there was a man about 40 years ago by the name of John Griffin. Maybe you know his name. He wrote a book called Black Like Me, in which he chemically treated his skin and went into the South as a black man and as a journalist, wrote this book from the perspective of a white man inhabiting the skin of a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took some inspiration from Mr. Griffin, and I have attempted to deepen my tan and, you know, use some of the products.
Yeah?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you guys want? What do you want me to say?
So you went out and got a tan, so?
I'm trying to relate to my brothers. What do you say?
Wait a minute. John Griffin wrote a book, Black Like Me. It was a piece of courageous journalism. What's that got to do with you going out and getting a tan?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I'm wrong there, too. Is that it? Jesus. You know, I just can't...
You were about to embark, I thought, on some beautiful point you were going to make about sharing the pain of people, and you went out and got a tan.
I went out and got a tan, yeah. Is that a crime? I guess rubbing charcoal on my face and go to the grocery store one time and everybody looked at me, that's wrong too, huh?
What was that going to do?
I rubbed charcoal on my face.
Why?
To understand the plight of the African American. See what I'm saying, Wendell? So while...
Well,
And the whole deal.
Well, actually, but you know, Professor, if you rub charcoal on your face, that kind of sounds like it belittles a person, you know?
Yes, that sounds like you're trying to run an Al Jolson shtick or something, okay?
Huh?
You know what I'm saying.
Well, I went in there, I had the charcoal, and they backed away from me like I was some black guy. They thought I was going to rob the store or something. It was great. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking
Professor...
Okay.
Listen, you know, the comment that you just made, you said you rubbed charcoal on your face, you walked in the store, and, you know, they thought you was going to rob the place. Why do, when a black person walk in the store, did you think that someone would think that they're going to rob a place?
That's a great question. I don't know. I walked in there, I was going to get a pack of Marlboros and some shaving cream.
Well, see,
away from me.
I'll tell you why they backed away from you. You were some nut with charcoal rubbed on your face. That's why they backed away from you. Jesus.
And actually, that you know, those type of things happen. But when I walk in a store, you know, I'm here in Omaha, Nebraska, and when I walk in a store, I don't feel that way. I don't care where I walk in a store. I don't feel like, you know, that somebody feels that I'm going to rob the place. I just don't feel that way.
You ought to come to Portland, Maine. Wow.
Okay. Listen, Wendell, good call. I appreciate it very much, sir. Rub charcoal on your face.
Well, that's right. They thought I was going to rob the joint.
They're backing away from you because you look like a maniac, like you busted out of a nut house. Some guy rubs some black soot in his face and walks into a store with a dashiki on. I'd call the cops.
Oh, you're a racist, huh?
How does that make me a racist, calling the cops on a white guy with charcoal on his face? Unbelievable. Sandy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how
yes,
are you?
Yes, very good, ma'am. Thank you. You're on the air, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was calling because I was just...
You need to speak up, Sandy.
Hello?
Yeah, speak up a little bit louder, please.
I was just astounded that this gentleman who says that he's a professor and he's an educator seemed to demonstrate such little competency in his subject matter. And as an African-American, I mean, of course, I was offended at some of the things. I was more offended that he was a member of my profession. You know, as an educator, I take pride in what I know and being able to demonstrate those skills to my students and everybody else. You know, and I felt that his knowledge was very limited in his subject matter, and yet he's teaching college students.
Well, let me ask the Professor Green.
And
why did you
regurgitating information? He says, "Oh, I know this, and I can teach this," but he can't do anything without his notes.
Now, let me ask you a question, Professor. When she said that she was offended by how little you knew as a professor, you said, "Thank you." Why?
Because she's not laying all that race stuff on me. She says I stink as a teacher. So she accepts me as a teacher.
She says you stink as a teacher.
Thank you very much.
What does that mean?
Look, what's your name, Sandy?
Yes.
Who's Garrett A. Morgan?
I'm not going to enter a one-sided intellectual
battle. Wait a minute, I know
you,
who he is.
Because if I do that,
I know who he is.
Then it's only going to be...
Garrett Morgan was the gentleman who he invented the gas mask and the traffic signal.
No, he wasn't. He was the guy on Saturday Night Live.
That's Garrett Morris. All right, ma'am, thank you very much.
Wait a second. Are you sure that wasn't...
That was the guy. Garrett Morris was on Saturday Night. Look at people hanging up.
Thank you.
And the other thing... Oh, he hangs up, too. Who was Garrett Morgan? He was on Saturday Night Live. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. So yeah, John Griffin, that was his name. He wrote a book called Black Like Me, and he that was journalism, man. People used to do that kind of journalism. What that was a white guy, and he had an interesting... The reason why I'm thinking about him, wasn't this the anniversary of the publishing of Black Like Me? Anyway, not to belabor the point too much, but the guy was a very interesting guy, and he'd gone blind for part of his life. Really weird story. Anyway, in the late 50s, this guy used medical treatments to darken the color of his skin, and then he went out, and he also shaved his head bald so that there would be no, you know, hair, so that, you know, you wouldn't have to see any, like, blonde hair or whatever the hell. And so he used a sun lamp, and he used some medical treatments, and he went out, and he went through Louisiana, Mississippi, went through the Deep South, traveling as a black man in order to find out firsthand, you know, what it was like, and he passed as a black guy. Other black people accepted him as a black person, and whites, you know, wouldn't let him use the restroom and all this crap. And it was quite a book. I think when did he die? He died recently. Isn't he dead? I think he is. But that's really the story. And a lot of people didn't like, a lot of black people didn't like that book because they said, well, it's easy for a white guy to sort of descend into that world for a short temporary amount of time and then emerge from it and then go on with his life. You don't know what it's like to, you know, be born into it and live through it. Well, that's true, but at least, I mean, somebody made the attempt to at least get a snapshot so that at least, you know, a few whites could be educated as to the reality of that. Here's a really funny story, though. You got to hear this. This illustrates so perfectly how stupid, up until a very recent time, a lot of white people were with regard to race. And I'm not saying that everybody is, like, totally illuminated now, but this shows you the depths of white people's ignorance 50 years ago, and how, you know, how you can't really expect that we've come that far since then, because this is how dumb we were. And when I say we, I mean we, because these were FBI agents. Now, you got to think that the FBI agents are maybe some of the more intelligent among us. And these were white FBI agents, probably some of the more intelligent white guys that we have. And this was like around 1940. The Nation of Islam was stirring it up in Detroit, I guess. Now 1940, 41. And they were looking to bust Elijah Muhammad for, among other things, I think some anti-war, some trumped-up anti-war charges. In any event, they decided they would infiltrate one of these Nation of Islam meetings. So these white agents go into a makeup, some sort of a makeup room that the FBI has, and put on dark makeup. Okay, like, you know, your mom's pancake or whatever, puts on dark makeup. And they put on sunglasses, and I guess they slipped on white gloves, so the whole Al Jolson effect was completely, you know, is beautiful. And then they tried to get into this meeting. What in the hell? Imagine a black guy trying to slide in here with white makeup on. What the hell? And they were told to get lost. Now, I got to tell you something. I mean this. I know J. Edgar Hoover was wearing dresses. And he's a little goofy in his private life, but that doesn't mean the guy's stupid. But that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. They put on, like, black makeup and thought they would infiltrate into this Nation of Islam meeting. This is the dumbest thing I ever heard in my freaking life. I mean, seriously, are you guys trying to tell me, do you think a guy could do that and make it into a, you know, like a, whatever the hell, like a, you know, like a church in South Central, you know, get up and start singing gospel? Huh? No? Well, you don't look convinced, man. Schaefer thinks he can do it. Okay, if you think you can do it, I now cast a challenge to you. Go down and testify at some church on a Sunday freaking morning down there in Southgate, and you put on the black makeup with white gloves. Wear a mic. We'll have the audio for the show. That's ridiculous. So that didn't work. And, of course, you asked the question. It's a very good question. Why didn't they use black police officers? That'd be like a black guy putting on white makeup and going to a KKK meeting. Sure. Okay. Ed, yeah, you're black, right? Well, yeah, of course I'm black. I want you to put on this white makeup and go into a KKK meeting. We want to find out more about you freaking do it. No, you're doing it. So it's just idiotic. And you ask the question, why didn't they use black police officers? They didn't believe in using, and then there were black police officers, like in New York City. They finally started using black plainclothes police to do that kind of work, but they didn't think that they could trust, you know, an African-American cop to do this work. So, man, anyway. So it's Black History Month, and it's White Stupid Month. It's just a lot of stuff. It's Phil Henry Show, more than anything else, The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.